Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Those minutes are on the screen. We'll go ahead and I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Ayes have it. Meeting is officially in order. We're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover your head, men uncover your head. Well, that's okay. This is not a service, so you don't really have to do that. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you on today. We lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. We magnify your name. We magnify your name. For truly you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, Father. And so we come before you humbly this morning, or this afternoon, Father. We pray that you will take part in this meeting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We are going to go to Psalm 133. A song of degree of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to his garment. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Amen and amen. All right, so we are officially in order. Let me get Sister Mary, if you will go ahead and read the minutes from the last meeting, and I will pull up the last document we were working on.
Our last meeting was June 15, 2023. Started at 7 p.m. and we ended at 9:30. Attendance at the meeting was Brother Miles. Last month, Brother Miles had the powdered microgreens, the wellness mix, because the microgreens were growing slow and he didn't have enough produce. The growing schedule has changed because of the hot weather. The goal is to sell the microgreens in their natural form. Some people like the powder microgreens for their pets. USA, Brother Miles hasn't heard from them yet, but like I said, no news is good news. Brother Miles is looking into other grants. Bylaw. Section 11.98C, this section was tabled, but we discussed it, changes made, and we adopted it as section 11.20, required legal document, and was adopted on January 19, 2023. Section 11.21, A to C, we're still talking, I think we still have to do more talking on that one. But no, we're not. Oh, okay. No, we don't. The lettering has been corrected in that document. In that section 11.22, A, 1, 2, and 3. Contract is not quite sure if we finished that. But I think we did. But I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. Section 12.01. This will be discussed at the next meeting. YFCC case was filed on June 13, 2023. That's it.
All right. Anybody, can anybody remember anything else that went, that were brought up at that meeting that may have been left out? No? Okay, then I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Have it. Those minutes are officially adopted from the last meeting. Let me give a quick update. Sister Denise, I believe that you filed for the USDA loan forgiveness program?
Yeah.
Okay. You might get a call from the lawyer's office. Don't answer it. It's not required that you answer it.
Okay.
They're just introducing themselves, so just don't take the call. And it's a number coming from 770.
Okay.
They'll tell you that you're not required to call them back. If you answer the phone, then they may ask you some questions. And you don't want to do that. Just, you know, let them go on their own, fill in everything anyway. And Sister Mary, you weren't ever able to.
I also talked to her about that and told me the same thing. You said.
Okay, so you did. So you did get a call.
I did.
Okay.
I didn't get a call from the lawyer. I got a call from Denise.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So that's good. Don't talk to them. They will handle it from their end. They're just introducing themselves, and they're representing us. But they might, you know, they might ask some questions, and you don't want to have to answer. Okay. With that being said, last market we didn't sell any. Last Friday we didn't sell any of the powder microgreens. We didn't go with any plants. But it's a slow market. The summer is here, and it is heating up early in the day. Yeah, I had a woman to pass out at the market from the heat. And so, people will send out more and more. We do have a market tomorrow. We will be taking plants with us and the powder tomorrow. People will come for, once they know that we have them. I'll send out an email tonight saying that we have fresh microgreens to all those who have been buying in the past, and that we also have the powder for that market. And I think what was going on with those plants, with the heat, and somehow the that I was using, that wouldn't stop them from germinating. The rack became uneven some kind of way, and so even for the crop for this week, all of the trays of the top right-hand corner of the tray, like 3 inches of it, none of the seeds germinated. That made me think that the rack that I put them on was out of balance. So when I checked it, checked the rack, had to put a leveler on them, and they were about a quarter of an inch out of balance. And so the water was, you know, going to the down and to the left, and the top right-hand corner of the tray wasn't getting any water. And so, the you know, those part of the trays didn't germinate. But so I leveled them yesterday or the day before, took the leveler in there and leveled them. The thing is, there's three different shelves on each rack. And, you know, I leveled the bottom, and then the top two would be out of level. So I decided to just get a piece of, I had some thin plywood-like board that was about half the thickness I needed. And I put that along the back of it so that, you know, it would bring them back more into level. They're not completely level. But it took away that that unlevelness to it. And so I have some greens. I got microgreens growing now. When I actually checked the germination of the seed, the whole tray is germinating again. So I don't know how I got that far out of level, but it did. So the crops coming up for next week should be level. The wheatgrass, I tried something new with it. Didn't work. And so I have to go back to what I know works, growing them in a smaller tray. And, you know, they have to, the first 3 or 4 days, they have to stay covered, covered with a damp cloth, you know, and you just keep wetting that cloth. And I didn't do that this time. But I think what the problem was is I actually took them outside to water them, and I forgot them. And so the sun dried them out. I'm still going to go, you know, I had a big tray that I was doing that I wanted to take the smaller trays to sell and the big tray to grow out and then turn them into powders. But the smaller trays that I was growing to sell, they dried out and they just didn't bounce back. So I won't have any of those, you know, the wheatgrass for this market. And I'm not really concerned with that. I have the other crops, everything else, sunflower and a little bit of fenugreek. Those trays were suffering. So we got, you know, I probably will use that in a wellness mix and make a wellness mix with those because the wellness mix sells well. And so I can probably get maybe, I'm looking at the amount that survived, that actually grew, maybe 2 or 3 wellness mixes out of it. Then I'm going to go ahead and plant some bigger trays of the fenugreek. The sweet pea the whole tray didn't germinate, top right-hand corner. So I got 2 trays of that that they didn't germinate, the top right-hand corner, but it looks like it will be enough to sell. So I think we should be able to make some money tomorrow. What else? I said that I sent Kayla, the lady from the USDA, sent her an email last week and hadn't heard anything from her. Received an answer from her this morning, and because she's been extremely busy, and that the restaurants that she had talked about sending me the names of and the contact information, they said they were willing, they use microgreens, and she asked them were they willing to change their supplier, and they said they were, but she wanted to reach back out because it has been a little bit since she talked to them, so she wanted to reach back out to them, make sure it was still okay, and then she'll send me their contact information so I can contact them. So I want to make sure that I have a good crop so that I can take them a sample of the greens. I was going to take a sample. We went to what was the place that name of that place called where we had that vegan burger?
Green.
It's called Green. I left them my business card, but I also want to drop off some to them just so they can see what we're growing. So use the broccoli and radish. A lot of the restaurants use some probably some sunflower. So I want to take those and drop off some samples there, see if I can't get them as a customer. As far as the markets go, I'm still going to grow for the Friday markets. The Wednesday markets are once a month, so we won't have one until July for the Wednesday markets. I don't think there's any more Sunday markets during the summer. So we're just looking at Fridays and Wednesdays as going to those markets right now. And so this is the time that I want to take to reach out to restaurants and see if we can't get some of those on board at this time. And then when the winter time comes back or the fall here, September, people will start coming back out again in mass. There are some, you know, the bigger markets, again, are on Saturdays, on Sabbath, and we're just not going to go to those. So we're trying to create our customer base based upon the Friday market. I may contact the people who run those Saturday markets and see if they got people selling microgreens and just see if I can't leave some contact information that they can give out with their card, like when their next market is going to be, if they'll do that. But we'll see. They may not do it, especially if they have vendors who are selling microgreens. Still haven't been able to get to the side of town that is poor, because on this side of town, most people have money. The people that are the people who have approached me about the EBT cards are vendors. They're out there selling. And when it gets low, I found out that a few of them, at least three of them, are on EBT. So I've sold to one of them on EBT. The other one said she wanted to do it. But the third vendor, the brother, I haven't seen him out there in a while. So he may not come in. I may have had some type of relapse or whatever. He had gone through COVID and had a bad COVID infection. He survived it, and I haven't seen him out there lately, him or his family. Well, trying to think. So Taylor will contact me next week and give me the information for her group that she's putting together, and I'll have to attend those meetings. And then hopefully she'll be able to give me the names of the vendors that said that they would change their supplier to us. Okay. Let's see, anything else? I can't think of anything else right now. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. All right, so I think we don't really remember whether we finished contract suspension. So we'll start
here. I don't remember. I think we did. Let me check.
Yeah, I think we did as well, as I'm reading this.
I think we did.
So let's read it, see if there's anything that we don't, we don't like right now. And if we do, then I'm not sure if there was a section up here that we needed to go back and redo. Mm-hmm. Not mine. Okay.
I don't even know where my phone is.
So, let's go back to section 1119. Safety concern with pets. I'm not sure we finished this one.
Yes, we did.
Did we finish it?
Yes.
I'm not, if we did, Sister Mary, I'm not sure we did. Maybe I'm, let me see if I can, if I save this document up under another name. Where would it be? Name. Give me a hot second. Document up under last week's date. But the one that I'm pulling up is from the 8th. Right now. There's 20 seconds. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to, we may have to redo section 1119, safety concerns with pets. And you didn't write down the changes, did you?
No, I didn't. Because I think we did that. That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, no, we tabled it. According to your notes, we tabled this. See up there? Section 11.19?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got it as being tabled. But we didn't do it. We're going to leave it, write a note that we're going to table it again for this week. We'll go ahead and move on. We'll come back to it. We did 1121, 1122. Did we do 1122? Yeah, we did that. So let's start on section 12, membership debt. And we'll just read this. But I know we've never talked about this ever. So let me share my screen. Okay, if you bring up screen sharing. Let me know when you have it up.
It's up. I have a lovely picture of you.
Of me?
Yeah.
You start screen sharing again. I shouldn't be up there. All right. Go ahead and stop and start screen sharing again and see what comes up on your screen.
Okay. Yes, less than 12. Okay.
See that better now?
Yes.
Okay. And Sister Denise, do you have it? Sister Denise already went on break.
No, I have. Yes.
Oh, you can see it now?
Yes.
All right. Amen. We'll just read this. And we'll come back and discuss. A member must have a contract guarantor. The member in question is under 18 years of age, or the member in question has received 3 or more notices of non-payment of rent within the previous 12 months. The member in question has a current guarantee payment plan with YFCC, even if the payment plan expires before the new contract year begins. All right. B. A member who is required to have contract guarantor must have a contract guarantor in place before the POD or YFCC can approve and sign the contract. Such guarantors must sign appropriate legal documentation whereby they guarantee to YFCC the full performance and observance of all the agreements and conditions contained in the contract, including the punctual payment of all room charges, food co-op payments, long-distance telephone charges, damages, work job compensation payments. C, before determining whether an individual may serve as a contractor guarantor, the member service coordinator will determine and verify the individual employment and income, the individual's cash assets, if savings are pledged, if any, the individual owes to creditors, and whether the individual has any outstanding court judgments for unpaid debt. Additionally, a current or former YFCC member whose debt exceeds $100 may not be a contract guarantor for another member. If a member with a contract guarantor fails to make a scheduled payment, then the contract guarantor must honor their guarantee of the member's entire debt upon demand. Okay. Let's talk about this. I guess we need to discuss how we would collect money for everybody that is coming. And if they are under the age of 18, they will need somebody to guarantee that they will make the payment if they cannot make it. If they're under the age of 18, they should not be coming. Because that is we need to talk about that. What age limit are we going to put as the minimum age to join as a single member? Did the question make sense?
Yeah, at least it has to be 21. I agree with you, Janine.
Okay. If we make the minimum age 21.
Say 25, no less than 21.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If we say a minimum of 21, then we don't have to do anything above that. We don't have to really state. Now,
legally, I'm in at 21.
So I think you can go into the military at 18.
What do you want to say, 18?
If you're 18, you're considered to be grown.
They're considered to be,
they can sign a contract.
But they can't do nothing other than that. Contract signing, loan signing, but they can't do anything else.
They can work. Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm not sure 21 We need to talk about it.
So what is the child return with the family?
If they turn 18, if they came with their family, they still up under their family. And we can talk about that too, because if they're there with their family and they're 18, then it's just like the family's still, yeah. Let's talk about this, so that we know what we're allowing, what we're not allowing. What I'm looking online, what is the youngest age that somebody can sign a contract? Although 18 years is a legal contract age in most states, there are several exceptions, such as states of emancipation. So, yeah, a child can file for emancipation, and they are considered, you know, I don't know if the emancipation says that they don't have to have a guardian. With a general legal status, they can enter into contracts if they've been emancipated. So, as a group, what do you guys think the minimum age should be? Yeah, I've heard 21.
I'm going to stick with 21 for 18 years old. They might be a little bit too...
Not prepared.
What
were you trying to do? Okay, so if we say 21, then we don't need a guarantor if we make the minimum age 21. But we might need a guarantor if no, they can't be emancipated income if we make the minimum age 21. So, we also have to look at this children. At what age will we require their children to be up under contract? They're grown. Is it as long as they stay in their parents' house? Is that the deal? So, let's do a scenario here.
So you're saying if they got kids and the child is like, say, 17,
right,
his birthday is coming up and he'd be 18,
right,
so he can go and get his own pod and have his own contract. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, we need to talk about that, because if we say the minimum age is 18, if they turn 18, they wouldn't be allowed to do it. You'd have to wait until they're 21. I mean, they would still have to be, what, vetted? So even with this right here, I think we need to take our time and talk through this right here. How are we going to handle when children get grown? They want to leave their parents' house.
Okay, what if their parents don't want them to leave their house?
We're going to have to talk about, well, we can't deal with every situation, but we can come up with a generalized ruling. If their parents don't want them to leave, see, here's the problem. At 18, they are considered to be grown.
Right.
Well, we can say that they can't receive their own pod until they're the age of 21.
There could be exceptions
at 18, depending on, you know, but if parents don't want them gone, 9 out of 10 is a problem for the child.
Not necessarily.
Sometimes.
My father told me at 18, you got to go.
Yeah, I understand that.
And I was a problem child, but they didn't know that.
I understand that, but at the same time, even at 18, there could be a learning curve for them to contribute while they're in the parents' home. Because when they become 21, they can.
Heck, that could be happening at 21. The thing is that they should have been taught to to perform some type of duty for the community by this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be the issue.
Well, what if they're already in the pod growing up? It's 18, but newcomers coming in have 21.
I mean, we can do that. I'm not opposed to that. But okay, here's the scenario. You know what's bound to happen. You got 18-year-old boy, 18-year-old girl, and they want to get married. And they're a part of the community. We're saying that they can't get married until they're 21 or they can't stay there. I mean, we really have to hash this out and be practical about it.
Well, at 18, they can. If they grew up in the community, right, they can be on do whatever, like married or whatever, 18, get their own pot or whatever, 18. But like, newcomers coming in have to be.
What do y'all think about that? Okay. Because I think what I would invoke in that situation, that they would have to do the marriage ritual like Messiah describes in for the Galilean wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so the boy would have to go to the girl's father and to the girl at the same time, that's ritual, and ask for her hand. Hmm? Yes, the ritual. They would have to ask, he would have to ask for to marry her to her father. And then she would also have to accept according to this ritual. So he would come, there would be, in this case, there would actually be wine. He would offer her the cup of wine at 18, and if she accepts his marriage proposal, then she would take a sip out of this cup, and he would take a sip. They are considered to be engaged at that point. They're not married, they're engaged. And from that point, then my understanding of this ritual, he would return to his pod, he would return to hers, he would then either purchase or make her bridal gown, and she would have to be ready for whenever his father would determine. His father would determine when they actually got married. So he would have to be going back and either helping to put up another pod where they're going to live, or they would add to, in those days, what the man would do, he would add to his father's house. So they make an addition to the father's house, and then when his father said that everything was okay, then usually sometime at midnight, somewhere around there, he would come for his bride. He would have to be ready, and all the bridesmaids would have to be ready. And that could be anywhere between one day and 12 months. So everybody understand this principle?
Yeah.
And Sister Niece, your mic is awful low. I just put your volume up.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna put yours up too, Sister Mary. Check 1, 2, 3.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this ritual, and I'm gonna teach this within the next few weeks. So Messiah said that no man knows the hour of the day when he comes, right? But who?
But him.
The Father. Okay, and this is after this Galilean wedding ceremony. So when Messiah did the Last Supper on the Passover, when he did the communion with them, that was actually part of a wedding ceremony. But he was offering the cup to the church, his disciples, okay? And then he said, I would not drink of this cup again until what?
Until he returns.
Until he returns. So the bridegroom is telling the bride the same thing. He brings the cup. He says that that I will not drink from this cup again until I come to get you as my bride, okay, for our wedding night. If she accepts the marriage proposal, then she takes a sip out of that cup, meaning that she's agreeing to the marriage. They are engaged at that point. The father and his son, they leave. The bride goes back into her place. In between that time, she's supposed to be preparing for the wedding. Her bridesmaids and stuff are supposed to be preparing for the wedding, and they are supposed to all be staying there together or they're close around, because when the father says that it's time for his son to go get his bride, then he has a ram's horn or a horn or whatever, and he blows it as he comes to get his wife. And then they have a wedding ceremony at night. Because remember, Messiah says that I have to find a verse. You know, you don't know what hour he comes.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally in this wedding ceremony, he would come anytime between it turns dark to early in the morning. It's whenever his father decides that it's time for, you know, everything is ready. And because the groom is the one that pays for the wedding. And the groom is the one that has to bring a dowry for the bride. So did any of you ever hear that the brothers, that the wife pays a dowry to the husband?
No.
I think Brother Job taught it that way. But anyway, it's the husband that pays the dowry to the bride, to the bride's father, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the groom, his father, and the bride's father sit down and they create what's called a ketubah, which is a marriage contract, okay? And it says everything that he's going to provide in the marriage. And he brings his gifts and everything like that. So when we go through this, it's actually a real beautiful ceremony and ritual. And this is the same ritual that Messiah used to describe the wedding feast when he returns. And so the different things that are done.
Okay, now these people are 18 years old, right?
Right, they got a minimum of 18. They're not no 16-year-olds, no 17-year-olds. And again, that'll actually kind of be up to who? The parent?
Very much.
So, I mean, we can put it into the policies or the bylaws that no male or female. You see, again, this can become problematic, because as you start having children and they start growing up, that don't mean that they're going to always abide by the what, laws?
Absolutely.
And I pray that it don't happen, but, you know, we have somebody who gets pregnant at like 16, 15. That should not happen, especially in a community where we are that close-knit. Everybody should be having an eye on where everybody is at most of the time, at least. But if it happens, then we need to have a way to account for that. So let's talk about these things because they're possible. And how do we want to handle it?
I got
what?
Come in.
You got to talk louder.
About the age situation. Let me put my marriage. Age situation. If they come in, the child has to have a minimum of 4 years in the community. You know, if they come in at 17, it's 4 years. Put them at 21, right? To understand the community, right? But if
they come in like, you know, younger, than, you know, real young, like under that age, by the time they get 18, they understand the community.
Yeah, I see you want a different length of time of experience for each. If they are less, if they come in, they're young, the parents move there into the community and they're young.
They understand the community, how it works.
Well, then, but I don't understand, what is that for? Why are you saying that?
Well, you said it's when they turn 18, so some can come in at 17, right? Or right at 18, and they really don't, you know, they got to learn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If they're, okay, are we talking about just joining the community?
When they join, oh, yeah. Well, I'm talking about when you said 8, when they already, when we said 18, remember we said 18, when they're in the community, they can go out on their own at 18 in the community, right? But if they're coming at 17, I think they still should have 4 years with parents to, you know, with family to understand the community.
Because they have to learn what
yeah.
they're doing.
Yeah. So instead of saying, oh, they're in there, they turn 18, like the next month, they can go on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Let's hash this out still. No, that's a good idea. If they grow up in the community, okay, so here's my question. Well, let me take this.
You know, Brother Miles, you just have to think because everybody is not.
Right, and but I want to make it to where, you know, the problem they have in the big cities is you got a bunch of young teenagers who become wild, and the grown folks, if the parents don't make them do what they're supposed to do, then they'll be out trying to do everything.
That's when they have to exit the community.
Well, we don't necessarily want to do that. Okay.
Well, counseling can counsel them. You can counsel them. I mean, you know.
Well.
And if they don't feel wild, then what do?
Then we enforce the law.
Okay.
Okay. So. All right. So I'm going to write down some things here. Because we got different scenarios. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to have to leave. I got an emergency. Somebody just called and said, block, I mean, she on the need my help, so I'm going to go and help her.
Okay.
So I'm going to need a meeting. I tried to call the 51 number. It said no show schedule. So I was going to try to do it on the phone.
Wait a minute. The 516 number?
Yep.
Hold on. Let me see what I did. Cause it was on there. I called in. Just a second. Let me make sure I didn't close it by mistake. Give me a hot second, Sister Nee. Type up. So let me hold on. Maybe because I didn't join in there. Blog Talk Studio. Yeah, I'm in there. So there is a show going on.
516-453. Okay, let me get that.
So, want me to text it to you?
Yes, please.
Okay. You have it in your text right now.
I just got it.
Okay.
All right, so I'll be calling in.
Okay. So I'm gonna write down some notes, Sister Mary.
Okay.
And we may not be able to vote on this stuff today. Well, it depends on if she's able to get back on. I don't know what Sister Clara is today. Let's see. Notepad. So these are the different scenarios that we've talked about. Let's see, a family. J. joined, say, less than 18 years old.
Under 18?
Yeah, I got, I'll repeat these to you, okay?
Okay.
As I type them out. Okay. All right. Let me open up Sister Denise's mic. All right, Sister Denise.
I'm
on.
Yes,
okay.
I can.
All right, amen. So I'm typing out some scenarios that we need to account for. So we have, let's talk about this scenario, because then I'm going to type it out as we do it, and I'll type it into the document. We have a family that joins with, no, let's just talk about, let's do this first. Talk about a child that grows up in the community first. So we got somebody that had children, and the children, let's say, they came young, and they've grown up, and they know the culture of the community, right?
Right.
They know the culture of the community. They are contributing to the community, whether it's in labor or what have you. Then they know the way of the community. What age do we want to say that they can actually move out and have their own place?
If they're within the age of the four, you know, the 4 years, 18, you know what I mean? To 18, like I said, if it was 14, right? At 14, by the time they're 18, they know the laws and everything. So they can move out at 18. But say if they're in the, like, 15, 16, 17, or just been getting there at 18, you should have a minimum of 4 years in the community with their family before going out on their own at 18.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Can I hear?
Okay. Okay, so I have a child that grows up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarters, 5 years of age. Child that
14 or less. Or it could be how it comes in as a minimum of 4 years in the community. at that 4-year mark from 18 on, they be out on their own. I don't know.
Okay. So I have a child that comes into the community older than 13 years old. Because if they're younger than 13, they won't be eligible to get a pod until they're 18 anyway.
Yeah.
So 13 years old, older than 13 years old, must wait until they have 4 years. So they may not be able to get a pod until they're what, 19?
19.
20, 21?
21, yeah.
Must 13-year-old must wait until they have 4 years experience in the community before they're eligible for quarters. Let me say their own quarters. Yeah, well, we'll have to talk about that as well. So, if we go by biblical law, a girl is not supposed to leave her father's house until she's
married.
Until she's married, yeah. What do you guys think? Okay, Sister Denise?
Yeah.
You agree with that?
What I think.
Yeah.
Is that the law?
Think.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. A girl is not supposed to go out until she's married. She's up under her father's, what, head?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then when she's married, then now she's up under her husband's head.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so let me rewrite this. No, yes. Okay, let's talk about let's talk about grown females. That's the only time that they should actually be on their own. According to the law, if a grown woman, if she's married and she gets divorced, I'm going to have to look that up because let's say she gets married, for whatever the reason, let's say her husband died. There's nothing that says she has to return to her father's house, I don't believe. But if she returns to her father's house, I think there is something about that. Hold on a minute. But I don't think a woman's supposed to be out on her own without a head at any time. But that's just me saying that right now. It's not the gospel. I think I'm going to find that in Leviticus.
Because I thought if she was married and her husband died, then she could marry her husband's brother.
If they don't have children. If they don't have children. If she has children, that law is of none effect.
Okay.
She only marries her husband's brother if she don't have children, and has to have children in her husband's name. So So we'll get this. Okay, so let me get this. All together already. I didn't know we were going to go down this path. Let's see. Leviticus 18. And then we'll have to look at these other scriptures. Leviticus 18. All right. And do you see that on your screen, Sister Mary?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger.
Bylaw.
All right, I'm going to stop sharing and reshare again, okay? See the Bible on your screen now?
Wait a minute,
let me
pull you up. No, I see your lovely
picture. You see my picture?
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I just stopped. Well, I got to start sharing again because I stopped it because you said you couldn't see it. That picture. Try it again.
Yeah.
All right, do you see it?
Yes, I have the Bible.
Okay. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, I am Yah your Elohim. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. All right, so he's telling them, don't do the stuff you did. We're doing what, in Egypt? And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinance. Don't follow their laws. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am Yah your Elohim. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. Which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yah. None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am Yah. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born in at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Can't sleep with your sister or your mother. None of that stuff. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinsman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman or her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. So that would be your granddaughter. To uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinsmen. It is wickedness. Yes, ma'am. Sister Mary.
You're breaking up. I don't have you no more.
Check. 1, 2, 3.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You can't hear me? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah, but you're breaking up.
I don't know what would be causing me to break up.
I can hear you, but you're breaking up.
I said I don't know what would be causing me to break up. Let me go out and come back in. Hold on. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me now?
Oh.
Sister Mary, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. So let me reshare the book.
Hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you. Okay, can you hear that I can hear you? Sister Mary? You're on mute.
Breaking up.
I don't know what is causing that.
No, I'm not.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Sister Denise. Sister Denise, am I breaking up for you? Okay, hold on, Sister Mary. Okay, say something, Sister Mary.
Hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me good?
I can hear you good.
Okay. All right. I'm going to share the Bible again. Okay. See if you can see the Bible now. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Before I took it a minute to come in on your computer. Do you still have my picture? Okay, I'm going to stop sharing. Try it now. Yeah. Okay, do you see the Bible now? Yeah, I can hear you. See the Bible now. What is going on? All right, well, I got to tell her.
I got it.
You got it? Okay. All right, so we're in Leviticus 18 and 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, besides the other in her life. Verse 19, also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is part of her as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. That's for her cycle. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy Elohim, I am Yah. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shalt thou any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I have cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit iniquity therefore upon it. And the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For these are the abominations, of men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. And where was that scripture? 18:16, 20 and 21. Okay, so there you're told not to uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Go to 20 and Leviticus 20 and 21. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. That's not the verse we're looking for. Deuteronomy 25, let's go there. It's the what? Father. He's talking about a man, like, yeah, that's one thing. We're looking at something else right now. Okay, Leviticus, Deuteronomy 25. And let's get verses 5 through 10. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger.
This time I went.
I just told you wrong.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So this is a verse you were talking about, Sister Mary. So in this case, the girl is not free to go outside the community to marry. So let's say she has a husband. If her brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. So this is two brothers. One of them is married. Both of them could have been married. One of them don't have a child. The one who don't have a child, by his wife, she dies. Then he's supposed to go to, the brother's supposed to do what? Take her to him to wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. Shall be that the firstborn which he beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead. That is his name, that his name be not put out of Israel. Yeah. And bring up seed to his brother. Now maybe he only have to do it with one, and the brother's name got to survive in the earth. But the other women, they would be free to remarry. But probably in that case, if he had multiple wives, then they would probably have to, he would have to fulfill his law for all of those wives. Then. Somebody ain't gonna get fulfilled. But the brother is dead, so they would be free to go out and remarry.
And not in the community.
Right.
If no one wants in the community,
then they can't, they will get remarried. The law. Now, let's keep reading this, because there are some laws that go with this. And I'm turning your mic back up, Sister Mary. So, in verse 5. If her brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed the name of his brother which is dead. Now, he is his wife, but the firstborn child must take the name of who?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The husband, her husband,
Right. That his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, don't want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother is to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elder of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and sit in his face. And shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called, and his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him that has his shoe loose. So he's supposed to be, if he don't perform this duty, then he's supposed to be what? Put to shame in the community?
What if, because they didn't have
a... You got to talk louder.
The brother didn't have children by the wife. What if she's married?
If she can't have children, it don't matter. If she can't have no children, his brother that took her to be a wife, she's his wife. She's just barren. So let's go back up here. And got to make sure you pay attention to all the wording.
Mm-hmm.
If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto the stranger, a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife. Take her to him to what?
Wife.
She becomes his wife. And perform the duty of a husband, of a husband's brother unto her.
Mm-hmm.
So the first child she has is to be named after the dead brother. She's still his wife. Right.
But she don't have children. She has children, she cannot marry the brother.
If she have children, no, she can't marry.
Marry anybody.
She can remarry.
But not the brother.
It's not the brother. Okay, Sister Mary, you still there? Earth to Sister Mary. Sister Denise?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Are you alone?
Yes.
Okay. Did you understand what was read?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And Sister Mary? 1, 2, 3, Sister Mary. Let's see what happened to your sister. And Sister Denise, have you already done what you're supposed to do? What you went out to do?
No. No, I'm here getting her now.
Oh, okay. All right, amen. Then I will just mute you on this end, and if you're ready to say something, just press the number 1 on your phone.
All right, will do.
And I'll open the mic. See if we can get Sister Mary back. Sister Mary. Testing, 1, 2, 3, Sister Mary. All right, let me go out, come back in. Talking, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right, I'm back. Can you hear me now, Sister Mary? Testing, 1, 2, 3, can you hear me, Sister Mary?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't either. All right.
I text you that I'm talking. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Oh, okay.
Did you understand what was read?
I do.
Okay. So, now that's the law concerning if she's married, they don't have any children, Her husband died. He has a brother that's part of the community. His brother's obligated to go in and to actually obligated to what, marry her?
Right.
Yeah. But if he don't, then he should be shamed.
Marry all of them.
Yeah. So now let's look at the, let me look at this, because I think it says, what?
You have to have a son that bears a name, right?
Right. So it's going to be that she would have to, the firstborn son would be his. And she's still going to remain his wife. Can't, you know, go in and get pregnant by him and then go marry somebody else. All right. So Leviticus chapter 22. This is concerning a priest's daughter. Okay. But if the priest's daughter be a widow, her husband died, or divorced, and have no child, and is returned unto her, where?
Father's house.
Her father's house. As in her youth, she shall eat up the father's meat. But there shall no stranger eat thereof. So, in this case, the woman is divorced, or her husband died, and she's returned to her father's house. Yeah, and has no child. Right. But she can still get remarried. Let's see. All right, did you understand that, Sister Mary, what we just read?
Yeah.
Okay. And let me open up Sister Denise's mic. And Sister Denise, did you understand that one?
Yes.
Okay. So let me find so we know by this that a woman that gets, if she becomes a widow or she's divorced and with no child, then she returns, she can, and it says, and is returned. So that doesn't say, that doesn't say it's mandatory for her to return to her father's house.
It no.
Says, and is returned to her father's house. I don't say that is mandatory.
So she was a widow or divorced, have no
children.
She can return to her father's house. But it also says that she can return to her father's house, but she also has to marry the brother.
No.
You don't have to marry the brother?
If she has no child, yeah. No, well, in this case, the priest's daughter. If the priest's daughter, so this is a priest.
The priest only.
Well, no, it would still apply.
Okay.
So if she be a widow, divorced, and have no child. Now, if she, no, this doesn't apply. She don't have to marry her. She don't have to marry the brother didn't have to marry her.
So she goes to the brother.
Right.
If he would have to marry, but she doesn't go to the brother. But
well, this is several different things here. Okay. If she's a widow,
mm-hmm.
and have no child, then she, then the brother would be required to marry her.
Right.
No, wait a minute. She can return there if it's let's say that she's a widow and there's no brother.
No.
Then she can return to her father's house. It don't say that she has to.
Yeah, I understand that, but it doesn't say.
The law would apply here. If she's a widow, meaning that her husband died
mm-hmm.
and have no child,
mm-hmm.
that's the same scenario we read before.
I understand. So then,
but you got to understand, you got a different situation. So the first law, it doesn't matter if it's the priest's daughter. If she's a widow, and if her husband has a brother, and they have no children, then what we read in Leviticus 18 still applies.
Okay, but Leviticus 22 doesn't. It doesn't say go to
your
brother or to the.
No, the other law would be invoked. Doesn't matter. It's just saying here, concerning eating, okay? So this would be the same law, okay? Now, if she's divorced, that's a different thing, okay?
It said or, widow or divorce.
Right, but you're just reading a different law, okay? So let's not mix apples and oranges.
I'm not.
Okay, so stop. You got to listen. Okay, so go back to Leviticus 18. Okay. I believe it was down like in the 18 and 16. So we got that from? No, we got it in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 25. Yeah. So understand that whichever law applies, okay? Because that's actually dealing with separate things. It's the same thing, but separate things.
Okay.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's just do this, okay? If brethren dwell together and one of them dies and have no child, the wife is a widow now, right?
Yeah.
Of the dead, she'll not marry without outside to a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now she's a widow, no child.
Mm-hmm.
If we go back to Leviticus 22,
mm-hmm.
This is talking about a priest's daughter, okay, but she'd be a widow. Did her husband die?
Yes.
She don't have no child?
No.
If her husband had a brother,
mm-hmm.
he would be required to fulfill that law of the brother.
But it
doesn't
say if you don't have a brother,
she goes
to
the
father.
It doesn't
say
that. It doesn't. You don't mix the two.
I'm not.
Okay. But you are.
No, because what I'm saying is, it says widow, get a divorce, get a widow, no child. She can go to her father's house. And we just said priest out of it.
But you got another law that will come into place with that. That's the law of the brother.
But it doesn't say.
It doesn't have to say it there. It's already someplace else.
But we read that place else. It doesn't.
So if she meets that requirement, she's a widow, she don't have no child.
Okay.
If her husband has a brother, the law of the brother would come into play. That's what would happen.
Okay.
The law of the brother would come into play.
Okay.
Now we're talking about a different situation. Okay. She is a daughter of a widow, or she's divorced and have no child. So in this case, also what would probably happen is there is no brother to marry her.
Well, it does say widow
or divorce.
Or divorce.
Okay.
And no brother. It
don't say no brother.
No,
right. But you would have to assume that if there is a brother there. Then the law of the brother would fall into place. The law of the brother would fall into place, okay? Because there's a law for that. I'm a widow, and I have no child, and my husband has a brother. The law of the brother would fall into place.
If he's a priest's daughter, does that make a difference?
No, it doesn't make a difference because this whole thing is really pointing at, because let's say, and the reason why I know this is because the other verse doesn't say, in Deuteronomy 25, doesn't say if she's divorced, okay? If she gets divorced, she's free to go marry. If she can't marry the brother.
Yeah, okay, but it also doesn't say, but why doesn't it, I don't know why it doesn't say, but it doesn't say that if she's widowed, it talks about going back to the father's house, it could be, married brother or the father's house.
It
doesn't say it in Deuteronomy.
It doesn't say it in Deuteronomy. It says that it gives you specifics in Deuteronomy. Okay? Specifically, if she's a widow, she has no children,
mm-hmm.
and the brothers live together or live close by, then she's to marry, her husband's brother has to marry her.
So the brother
doesn't
have to be in the community.
He has to be around. He has to be, you know, he can't expect to move cross country. He could come and get her as a bride if he wanted to.
But he's outside.
But he just can't marry a stranger.
Okay.
Okay. So he could not be in the community. I'm just saying they're probably going to try to be practicing. So if you want to take her as a wife, he's a long way. If not, he's free to what? Marry? So in this case, she's a widow. If she's a widow in these days, is she free to remarry? Say yes.
No. I say no.
Okay. Sister Nee says no. Sister Mary?
I the question that I have is, the difference between a regular woman or a daughter?
No, the only difference is in this, we will actually read it, because what it's talking about is if she's able to continue to eat, this is a priest's daughter, the only reason that she's able to eat of the showbread and of her father's meat, then she, if she's a widow and she hasn't remarried or she's divorced and have no children and is returning to her father's house as in her youth, she don't eat what? Father's meat. But there's still no stranger eat thereof. So this is talking about what she can partake in the holy thing, okay?
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what I'm talking about. Whether she can partake of the holy thing, because she's a priest's daughter. In that case, it makes a difference. But as far as if her husband had a, if she's a widow and her husband had a brother, then the law of the brother would still fall into place. And she would not be, and she would not return to her house, because she would have became, she would have came her husband's brother's what? Wife. Did that answer the question, Mr. Mary? Okay. This is talking about in this case whether she can return to her father's house and take part in the meal. Because if she's married, she can't come to her father's house and take part in the meal. She can't eat at her father's house. Okay, this is what this is dealing with. Okay, so if you walk through these scenarios, daughter, and she's a widow.
But you said priest doesn't matter.
Only as far as where she can return and eat.
So she has to be a priest's daughter to return.
Okay, no. So okay, let's stop for a minute. Time out. Okay. If you are an ordinary person, then there is a distinction between the priest and the ordinary person, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The priest's daughter. So the law. So let's talk about the law of the brother first concerning a priest's daughter, okay? If her father is a priest and she gets married, okay, and her husband dies, what would happen? And she has no children. What would happen?
Goes to the brother.
If there's a brother, she goes to the brother.
She goes to the brother. If okay. not, she goes to her father's house.
She can go to her father's house.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if it's an ordinary person, then the ordinary person can't take part of the holy thing. Okay. So now he's making a distinction between if she returns to her father's house, then hold on. If she returns to her father's house, then she can eat of the holy things like she was when she was a child.
But if there's a brother, she must go to the
brother. To the brother, right.
She must go to her father. But why doesn't it say that?
Because it don't have to. There's a law concerning it. All you got to do is you got to be a lawyer.
Okay.
You got to know the laws, the statute. So it don't say everything in one place all the time. So if you just play a scenario out in your mind, I'm a widow. I don't have any children. My husband has a brother. There's a law that says that my husband's brother should take me as a
wife. To marry.
Okay. Who just spoke? I didn't hear what you said.
I said has to marry you. Have to marry
her. Right, he has to marry you. Right. So that law would take care of that. Okay. Now, if she's a widow and she has no child. And, in this case, the reason she's returning to her father's house is because he has no brother. So that law would have came into effect. Okay? There's no brother there.
Okay.
So if she's a widow, is she free to marry? Is she free to remarry?
Yes.
Sister Nick said no. Okay, she's free to remarry.
I think, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And death do you part, right? So then she's free to remarry. The widow. If she is divorced in this day, is she free to if she's divorced back in these days, is she free to remarry?
In these days, yeah, but in biblical days, no.
Okay, we had two separate thoughts there.
Both. If she's remarried, if they and back in biblical days.
If she's divorced today, she's not free to remarry.
Why? Oh, divorced.
Okay. Well, no, we already talked about the widow. I went to the divorce.
Divorced today, she's not free to remarry.
Okay, so I asked back in those days. Back in these biblical times, before Christ came, she's divorced. Is she free to remarry?
No. No.
So, Sister Mary, Sister Denise, both of y'all saying no?
Yes.
And then the reason for divorce?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
She's actually free to remarry before Messiah came. So do we want to? We don't. I don't want y'all taking my word for it. Read it in the scriptures, okay? So we're
now,
talking about biblical days, and we're talking about before Messiah, all right?
Uh huh.
So this, ma'am. Okay, so we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're getting verse 1, okay? And let's make sure we keep up with this, because this is where a lot of people be getting tripped up. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a what?
Bill of divorce.
Let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, no, don't listen. I want you to read it for yourself. I want you to stay in my
house. She is married.
And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be what?
Another
married. She's divorced, right?
Mm-hmm.
And be another man's wife. Now, this is up under Torah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we were looking at the law at that time, she is divorced, he can get what?
Remarried.
Married again. Okay. Now, let's go to verse 3. And if the latter husband, the second husband, hate her, and write her a bill of divorce as two men she ain't pleased, right?
Mm-hmm. They know.
Mm-hmm.
And give it into her hand and send her out of his house. Or if the latter husband died, which took her to be his wife, this is one the only thing she can do. She can go get remarried again. Remember the woman at the well? How many wives? How many husbands did she get?
Five
husbands, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. They were not all at the same
time.
She
married him.
He got divorced and got remarried. Okay. Five times, right?
Right.
And then she jacked up with a man. Because the man she was with, Messiah said, and the man you with now is what?
Not your husband.
He's not your husband. Jacked up. He's fornicating, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So under the law, before Messiah came, a woman can get divorced and remarried as many times as was required, right? But what is the one thing? What is the one thing you couldn't do?
If she divorced, I don't know.
Just read verse 4. The one thing she couldn't do. Her former husband or former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife.
Oh, okay.
So the first husband, the second husband, the third husband, the fourth husband, the fifth husband, none of them could take her back. She had to always go to a what? A new man.
Another man.
Right? Okay.
Right.
And it was not against the law.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. Yeah, hoo-hoo. Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is what?
Free to marry again.
No, that's not what it says.
That's my bad.
Verse 4. Don't look at me. Read the scripture.
My former husband, which sent her away, may not take her
again to be his wife. After that, she is?
Defiled.
She's defiled.
So that's what she got?
No.
Oh.
She shouldn't be this way. I marry you. We get divorced. You go be with another man. And then you want to come back to me. And then you want to compare me with the other man.
Oh, okay. So it's because of comparison.
Right.
I can't come back. Oh.
She's defiled. You can't take her back.
She's defiled because she can't. The man can't handle, they can't handle the comparison, no comparison.
He may not be able to handle it, may not want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, she don't compare.
Well, he still can't take her back.
Okay.
She's considered to be defiled for him. Okay. So she can go and be another man's wife. She cannot go back to any of her, what, formers. Everybody understand that?
Yeah, because the comparison, they don't like comparison.
Well, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
God just says she's defiled for him. Okay? That her being defiled for him don't make her defiled for another man. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're saying that, though. Okay.
She's right, but she can't come back to the old.
Okay.
Most I said, you can't come back to any of the old husbands. Okay? For that is an abomination before Yah. Thou shalt not cause the land to what? Sin. For Yah thy Elohim giveth thee for an inheritance. When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. Okay. So that is the law. Now, after Messiah came, I told you guys, Messiah made this way more difficult. Because he says, this, what we're seeing right here, which was allowed up under the law of Moses, was never intended to be that way. It was never intended to be that way. No, stop that. Okay, so let's get one thing clear. Moses never gave a law that God didn't tell him to give.
But it was never intended.
The reason that it was given. So let's go and look at the reason that it was given.
Because they were killing their wives.
Because of the hardness of
their heart.
Okay, so God allowed it.
Because
they were killing the women because they didn't want to take care of them or they wanted out of the marriage. Okay. But let's go to here. God puts it back in order. Messiah comes back in the New Testament and puts it back in the order that he says it was intended. Okay? So let's look at this.
So the hardness of the heart.
They could put her away for any reason.
Yeah. So that wasn't intended either?
What?
Not putting away for any reason. That wasn't.
It was never intended for that.
Either one.
God never intended for divorce.
Divorce or heart of
no,
the other person putting away is death.
He never intended for them to be killing him. Okay. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 5. And Sister Mary, Sister Denise, are y'all able to see this?
Those of you not sharing the screen with me.
I'm not?
Yes.
Nope.
Well, why'd y'all stop screen sharing?
Because it went off.
I'm just playing.
I didn't stop it.
Sure, it couldn't have been my fault. All right, go ahead and bring up screen share and see if it comes up for you.
Your lovely face is up there.
Give it a hot second. Let me click over here.
There you go.
I got it.
Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Now, this is Messiah talking, okay? We already know that up under the law of Moses, a woman was allowed to get divorced, right?
Right.
And if she got divorced, she was allowed to remarry, right? Mm-hmm. Check. One, two, three. Mm-hmm. Sister Mary, Sister Denise. Can I be heard? You must hear. Yeah, I think y'all need to turn y'all volume up. Yeah.
Can you hear me, man?
I can hear you. But let me turn your volume up. And Sister Mary, let me turn your volume is already up. Say something, Sister Mary.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. All right, I can hear both of you now. So under the law, a woman can get divorced and she can get remarried, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was there a limit on how many times she could do that?
No.
No limit.
No, I was there.
Yeah, there was no limit. She just couldn't go back to the former husband.
Right.
Okay, now let's see what Messiah said, okay? But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. What's fornication?
Sex outside of marriage.
Sex outside of marriage. If you put away your wife for any reason other than she has sex outside the marriage, causes her to do what?
Commit adultery.
Commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits what?
Adultery.
Okay. Let's keep going. Go to Matthew chapter 19. You, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another. So let's get this clear. Who I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for what?
Okay.
And shall marry another, commit what?
Adultery.
Okay. And whosoever marries her which is put away, does what?
Commit adultery.
Okay. So, if a man has put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, then say if he keeps his wife and marry another, he commits adultery. If he puts away his wife and marries another, then he commits what? And whosoever marries her, which is put away, she got put away, they commit adultery for marrying her. So if he puts her away for any reason other than she went outside the marriage, he commits adultery. If he marries another, he commits what?
Adultery.
But if he don't put her away and he marries another, he don't commit adultery.
Huh?
If he don't put her away.
No, because he kept her.
Right, because he kept her.
Oh, okay.
And there's a law that says what he's to do in that case, right? There's a law that covers this. This is why Messiah, now he makes it harder. So, whosoever marries her which is put away does commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. What Messiah say? But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this thing, save to who it is given. So he said it is better to marry than to what? burn. Mm-hmm. It's better to get married than to commit fornication.
Right.
But if you get married, then the most I hate is divorce. Always have. So if you get the, and if, okay, so let's go through this scenario. Let's say that a woman is married and she's caught fornicating. What would have happened to her?
Yeah. So this town, this
that's right. She would have been stoned. So would you have to worry about divorcing her?
No.
No, not really.
No, because she's been stoned in death. Okay, now, let's go further. Again, does Mark chapter 10, verse 11 say anything different? And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife, that's a requirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And marry another does what?
Committed adultery against her.
And if the woman, and if the, now let's go to Mark 10, 12. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, he commits what?
Adultery.
He commits adultery.
Adultery.
So if the man put her away and marry another, and Messiah said if it was for fornication, he could put her away.
Right.
But if she haven't committed fornication, he don't have a reason to put her away.
Right.
And if he married somebody else, he's an adulterer, and whosoever he marries, what, is an adulterer.
The woman he married.
They both become adulterers because he put away his first wife for no reason, not an acceptable
right.
reason to God.
Right.
Divorce. If a woman shall put away her husband, divorce him. Does it say, now this is the only place you find this verse. Does it say, except for fornication?
Nope.
Don't put that requirement on the man. And be married to another, she does what?
Commit adultery.
She commits adultery. Because the Most High never intended for the woman to put away her husband. Ever. And fornication was not a reason to put him away. Or him taking another wife was not a reason for her to put him away. Keep going. In Luke 15, it says, whosoever put away his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. So Luke has got this written a little bit different than Matthew has in there except, right?
Right.
For fornication. Okay. And so you have to be line upon line. They have to agree. Okay. Let's go down here. Let's go to John chapter 8. And I want us to, we know the law, okay? I want to see if we can apply the law here and see why Jesus did what he did. John chapter 8 and verse 2. And early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman, taken in what? Y'all reading with me?
Taken in adultery.
And when they have set her, what's the problem here?
They didn't bring him.
They didn't bring him. The law required that they bring both, the man and the woman, right?
Right.
They don't bring the man. They only bring in who?
The woman. The mom.
So, now, how many witnesses do you have to have according to, because calling an adultery, is she supposed to die?
With two or three witnesses.
Okay. So we got some scribes and some Pharisees. We got at least two witnesses right there, right? Don't say how many scribes and how many Pharisees that brought her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at least two, a scribe and a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
So they met the requirement of the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't bring the man. Okay. Now, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in what?
In the very act.
So you caught her in the act of adultery, but you didn't bring the man? The law required that both of them be put to death. But they don't bring the man. So they're trying to set him up, okay? Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be what? Verse 5.
To be strong.
But what do you say? That's what they're asking them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Said, doing what? Tempting him. That they might have an excuse. They might have to what? They might have to accuse him. They wanted to accuse him of not keeping the law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But Jesus stopped. He stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, and so he heard them not. But when they continued to ask him, what's supposed to be done with this woman? He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him do what? Because he know what they're trying to do. They got enough witnesses. They didn't bring the man. They brought only her. So he says, now, how do I get out of this situation without killing her? Because he didn't come. I didn't come to what? Judge?
Right.
I came to
fulfill
the law and to save people from their sin. So how do I get out of this without killing her? And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience. So he said, that him is with, that is without sin cast the first stone. He stooped back down. Gave them time to what? Think about it? And they become convicted in their own heart. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the what? Last. And Jesus was left alone. Now, how many witnesses are left?
No.
There's really only one. But do you think Jesus know whether he's guilty or not?
Yeah, he know.
He know. But how many witnessed somebody to death?
Two or three.
Two or three. And the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, master or Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do what?
Neither do I.
Condemn thee. Go and do what? So she was guilty, but he couldn't convict her because he was the only what?
Witness.
Only one. So neither do I condemn you then. I don't bring no charges against you either. Because the law will require me to have two or three witnesses. So he can't break the law, right?
Right.
Go and sin no more. You're guilty. Don't go and don't do it again. So you see how he tricked them into convicting them of their own conscience so that they can accuse her? And he brought it back within the law that he's the only witness left, and he can't accuse her either. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay.
Yeah.
Keep the law. The law requires two or three witnesses to put somebody to death. He gets rid of all the witnesses. He's the only one left. And he don't condemn her either. If he did condemn her, he would be doing what?
Breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Okay, so let's go someplace else here. Let's go back into the law, because we're looking at for the sake of this, of our bylaws, how we would have to treat each of these conditions, each of these situations. So we saw in the law where the woman, under the law, the woman could get divorced and remarry.
Right.
But up under the New Testament, can she?
No.
Yeah, so let's get that too. I believe it's in Colossians. And let's get verse 39. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 7:39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband what? But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Only in what?
In Yah.
She has to marry another saved, God-fearing man. She can't go into the world and get a husband. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. She has to marry a man, a believer, somebody that is believing. I want to see if it references the Old Testament verse in here. Just a second. This has to be in Messiah, because in the Old Testament he could be married, couldn't she? So this has to be, it's taking it back to what it was intended to be. Under the, so the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Okay, but under the law, she could get divorced and remarry, right?
Under the law, yeah.
The Messiah said, but Messiah himself said it was what? Never intended to be that way? So it was intended that she be bound to her husband as long as he lived. And in this case, I mean, this is what we have to enforce in the community. But people have to be taught it and understand it. It is stricter in the New Testament than it is in under the law?
Right.
In Torah. It's stricter in the New Testament. Messiah comes back and said in order. And do we find this same restriction on the man? Yes, no, maybe so.
But if he threw his wife away, then marry another one and live in fornication.
Then, so he can just throw her away for any reason, right?
Right.
Okay. But does it restrict him to having one wife?
No.
Okay, was he restricted up under the Torah to having one wife?
No.
Okay, so we got to understand that because a lot of women today just don't want to accept that. It's supposed to be, what, equal? But it's not equal.
It's fair.
It's fair?
No, that's what the father
says. That's what he says, right? But a lot of people don't, a lot, and I'm saying especially women, don't believe that it's fair. Because why can he have more than one and I can't?
You either believe it or you don't, Brother
Miles. Right, that's where I'm at with it.
Because he's the head and you're the lot.
Well, when I teach this again, I'm going to get into this. Remember it says, suffer not a woman to usurp authority over a man?
Right, that's why I said he's the head.
Right, but a lot of women don't even care about that. They don't care about that.
A lot of people don't care about the words. Because you know what a friend of mine told me today?
What was that?
We were talking about the Sabbath. And I told him, yeah, when the man was picking up the sticks and they stoned him, you know what he told me? He told me, oh, no, they didn't stone him. He didn't die. He had to go to court.
Did you ask him if the judge found him guilty?
No, because I left him alone because he was talking stupidly.
Yeah, he was.
I don't have time for stuff.
You know, I would have just asked him, brother, did who was his judge, and did the judge find him guilty?
Well, he wasn't done. Then he told me that it's okay to work on the Sabbath. This is why I said nothing else. It's okay to work on the Sabbath. You know, you get. They had the cows and the chickens, and they had to take care of the chickens. And the book said that not even the cows or the chickens supposed to do nothing.
Right.
So wasn't no need of me talking to him. I changed the conversation.
Amen. Amen. You know, you got to know what battles are worth
fighting. When I came to the truth, you could ask me. We used to beat people with, we debated, we went, I don't do that anymore. Because if you don't believe it, it's because the Father don't want you to believe it. And ain't no need of me trying to make you believe, that means I'm fighting against the Father, and I'm not going to do that.
Amen. 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 Yeah, that is, this is, there are some things in the scriptures that people just don't like and they don't want to abide by.
And then they make up stupid stuff.
Well, I think that's what they do. I think. When did the Most High ask you what you thought?
Hmm.
I don't see him asking nobody for their opinion. Nowhere in this book.
No.
But that's what people do. I think this is what happened. He told you what happened. He tells you, this is my judgment. You don't want
to
live by his judgment.
He had to go to court.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out in my head, well, what was the court at in the wilderness?
Oh, he went to court all right. He was locked up, and they went and asked the Most High, what is to be done with this man? The Most High said, kill him.
Take him in front of the congregation.
Right. So, yeah, you see, at that time, when people say stupid stuff like that, you just need to show them what's written in writing. Don't tell them, just show them. That usually cuts out all that mess. Hey. Now, what do you say? Because if they really don't want to know, they'll make up something. They won't even believe their lying eyes.
But he's supposed to be in the Word. He's supposed to be in the Word. So he used to tell me all the time, oh, his name is Yeshua. His name is Yahweh. Da 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 da. Then why would you come to me with some stupid stuff?
He shouldn't be coming to you with some stupid stuff if he's trying to call on the name.
That's what I'm saying.
He should, but see, a lot of our people still aren't taught.
And you can't tell them that.
Right. They're just taught Hebrewism, okay? Oh, we at 7:30? Almost?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up. we will come back and revisit this. We won't settle anything on this. I got the note. We were talking about the children.
Right. What ages they need to be and all that.
Right. And so we sort of got off track.
Yes, we did. We went way off.
But I'm forgetting why we went here. Oh, we're talking about them getting married.
Right.
But I'm gonna do the marriage, the Galilean marriage, because that's where Messiah was from. And that's where he was referencing in the scriptures. Everything that he did referenced that marriage ceremony.
Right.
And so we can, you know, implement that ceremony on the land. You know, that's what the young people or any of the old people get married. They have to go through that same ceremony.
Right.
And then it will be official.
Right. But Sister Miles, I want to agree with you because I think they at least need 4 years of experience is supposed to be doing and how it's supposed to go. Because a lot of people are not teaching their kids.
Right. And she's not here right now. But yeah, that was good. Yeah, she's not here right now. She got up and I think to go check on her grandmother.
Well, tell her I agree with her.
Okay. And I agree with her too. That was a good call. A good pickup on that. We have it. I have it in the notes. I will email you these notes as much as I have right now so you'll know. You can put them in a minute.
Okay.
And we'll pick up. We'll pick it up on next week. Mary, did she agree with you?
I heard her. I heard her. I pressed one. You didn't let me in.
Oh, I didn't even know you called in.
Yeah.
Okay. Here, let me give you permission to talk.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome, honey.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a good call. And I will email you these notes. Sister Mary, just put them in the minutes, and then we will make sure we include the same stuff next week.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of different scenarios that we have to address and make it part of the. Let me take her. Put her back on mute. Okay. All right, so Sister Denise, I'm going to make a motion that we table the rest of this, the 12-1 that we're on for tonight, that we pick it back up in the next meeting. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? I have it. We will table that and pick it back up here on next week. I will send you the notes, the different scenarios that I have typed. You can just copy them or just type them just as I have them, Sister Mary.
Okay.
And then we will know what we need to pick up on next week starting in 12, the different scenarios. Well, I need to pull out the rest of the scriptures so that we make sure that we are sticking with the scriptures. So I'll pull out the scriptures because I didn't think we were going to go down this road this evening, and I would rather have those, you know, pre-looked up so I can say, okay, let's go here, look and see what the word says and make sure that we write it so that it fits the word and not our personal preference, because there are laws concerning these things. Now the ages, and I'm thinking that even on the age, the minimum age, we might have to say is 20. And the reason that I say that is that's the age the Most High, when they were in the wilderness and they rebelled, and the Most High said he's going to kill everybody, but everybody that was, 20 years old and older?
Yeah.
So we may have to say 19 is... they're a child until they're 19.
Right.
And then 20, that's the age that he gave in there. we'll use that as a standard. They're 20 years old, then they can move out on their own. Okay, rather than 18. I know the law of the land says 18, but the Most High has a law that actually supersedes that. So we'll use his law, his standard. Okay, so Sister Denise, if you will pray us out.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the beautiful lesson. Sorry I had to go and not to hear it all, but I heard most of it. And thank you, Father, for the beautiful lesson.
Precious. Amen. All right, may the Most High keep you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, until we meet again. Remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, my sisters. See you on tomorrow for Shabbat.
Okay. Shalom.
Without you, there's no need. I need a
Shalom, Brother Miles, Sister Miles.
Shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings. Let me unblock Sister Miles.
Shalom, Sister
Shalom.
Sister Denise. Shalom, my husband. Shalom.
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 Shalom.